position, you know, when he's healthy out there and dominate. And if you look at his 2018 numbers, they're off the chart. I mean, this guy was one of the top relief pitchers in the entire game. So he's not far removed from that if he can stay healthy. You know, that's why they're bringing him in. You know, again, they're going with the younger arms, guys that we've never heard of before on split contracts, major and minor leagues. And some of these guys are going to be making the team out of spring training. So we'll be, you know, looking at these young guys and reporting, you know, where they're at and how they're going to impact the 2020 Chicago Cubs.
Bruce, out at the Fan Fest, the Sox Fest, last weekend, there was a question posed to Rick Hahn about trying to sign an extension for Yoan Moncada or Lucas Giolito, and Hahn, it was he answered it well. He said that that they want to keep the guys that they have, that they believe in, and that part of their economic plan, part of the rebuild plan, included the economic realities of what they're going to try to do. He also said it takes two to tango, and I don't know which of those two guys would be more likely to want to tango. Do you believe that they will be able to get contract extensions done with some of these players as they come through? Because obviously they've done it with major league guys. Will they be able to do it with any of their guys before?
You know, I mean, they have a great history, guys, yes, of, you know, signing the Chris Sales, yes, and, you know, and
Quintana, Adam, that's how they got that deal
Quintana,
done.
Yep. Adam Eaton deal, all of it predicated on signing these guys early in their careers. With Moncada, I don't know if you can do it because he made a ton of money before he even started his major league career, being a free agent from Cuba. Giolito would be obviously a guy that you'd like to do it with. But, you know, now that you see the big money changing every year and dominant players, if Giolito puts together another couple of years like he did last year, he's going to be among the elite pitchers in baseball. What do you project yourself as, and what does the team project you as? And are you happy with just you know, a $10 or $12 million a year projected contract up to 20, rather than the 25 to 30 if you end up being a Cole type pitcher toward the end of your 6 years as a major leaguer? So those are the things you look at. But the White Sox have been good as any, signing people right away and getting the most out of it. And as you said, Mike, setting up all these trades with all these dynamite young players that are going to be a part of this team going forward here over the next 4 or 5 years, predicated on these great signings by Rick Hahn.
Bruce, is the Houston Astros hiring 70-year-old Dusty Baker a good idea or just a desperate plea?
I think it's a very good idea because of the credibility issue. Dusty Baker brings a tremendous amount of credibility. He also has a cohesive effect on every team that he goes to with that team to bring players together very quickly and to make it into a group thing that is positive. Now, if you want to go down the line of, is he too old, or if he keeps starting pitchers out there too long, which is his history, you can make those cases if you wish. I think this was the right move at the right time for a team that needed credibility and a baseball guy with an impeccable career and as a player and manager and a guy that respects the game to come in and handle that team. I think it was the right move. Now, it's probably a short-term deal, probably a couple of years here, and I think it's the right move for them right now. Normally, Dusty probably would not be getting a call at this point in time, but this is perfect for him, and I think it's the right move for Houston.
Maybe it's only an imagined slight, but I do feel put out and injured by the fact that the grievance hasn't been settled. When will we finally?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm not. I'm not predicting this any longer because we were predicting 2-3 weeks ago that it was going to be done. So we're already silly in our predictions of, you know, what we're hearing from sources with teams and when it's going to be finished. It just has a life of its own. It's kind of crazy. It would appear to be more of a slam dunk than anything else. But nonetheless, we are in arbitration hostage care right now. We are watching Chris Bryant and other teams standing by the side of the road waiting for this to drive by, and it just hasn't done it.
Bruce, I think it's one thing for us to sort of be, you know, self-deprecating and saying, you know, that we don't know when the grievance is going to be solved and the ruling's going to come down, because we don't know. We're on the outside looking in. But do you think the Cubs are acting in this way or handling their offseason because they have been caught off guard as well, and they expected a ruling before this, and now because they haven't gotten it, they don't know when they're going to get it, they're forced to make the kind of moves that they have made the last couple of days?
I think that's a really good observation, David, because of the fact that, you know, what if this goes until the middle of March? You know, we don't know, or the middle of February, middle of March. Other teams have already made their plans. Other teams have maybe moved young players in other deals. Other teams have signed free agents